Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Did we allow ourselves on the Cincinnati Bengals bandwagon? I think we said you have to be an LSU grad to jump on it. But we did hint at, we did like the Bengals last year. And of all the teams that were left in the AFC, they're the one that I find to be the easiest to root for. I think their uniforms are pretty stellar. I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow because, you know, as someone who worships Tom Brady as his Lord and Savior, I do see some similarities between the two of them. I think Burrow is infinitely cooler at this stage of his life compared to Tom Brady. No offense to Tom. Like, Tom has aged like fine wine. He looks significantly different, probably better as well, than he did when he was in his early 20s. And I don't mean that he looks older. He looks like better and somehow younger, despite being 45, than what he did when you see him in those pre-draft workout photos that he had back in 2000.
But in the same way that, like, Tom Cruise kind of looks better than he did 10 years ago, where it's like, what's really going on here?
Maybe, Sean, but I would actually compare it to Paul Rudd.
But Paul Rudd just looks the same.
He did not. I think Paul Rudd looks better older than he did younger. But I don't think that it's possibly a byproduct of work that has been done.
I am Googling Paul Rudd right now.
Paul Rudd in Clueless and Paul Rudd in the 40-Year-Old Virgin, like, he's kind of chunky. You're sort of like, hey, what's going on here? And then today he looks way better.
I wonder how much of this is he got on the Marvel superhero sauce, which I'm not accusing him of anything.
But
I'm just saying you have to be in good shape to do that.
You're probably right on that, Sean. That is a good theory. But I feel like with Paul Rudd, he has progressively gotten better. Like in Anchorman / in Clueless / in all of those movies from back in the day versus today, I think he looks better. But that is a very sound theory, the Avengers one. That guy who was in, I'm forgetting his name. So this is terrible radio right now. But the guy who was in Silicon Valley, who joined the like really bad Avengers movie that came out, which got me off it, The Eternals. The Eternals was like absolutely terrible movie. But the one guy who was funny in it, who was also in Silicon Valley, he got super swole now. Like, it is kind of terrifying how swole he is.
Kumail Nanjiani?
That's him. Yes. Thank you. The big guy from The Big Sick. Yes. Anyway, sorry. We're all over the place. The Bengals, I think, were really impressive in what they did yesterday. And I think there's something to be said that Buffalo is equally blamable for this one because it just felt like they didn't have a pulse all game long. You have DeMar Hamlin there, like the ultimate trump card to get your crowd riled up. And even if they maybe couldn't see him in that blizzard that was out there, I'm sorry. Like, I think just all around by the Bills was a complete pants poopage, you know? Where what the Eagles did, I think, is what we all expected them to be able to do. And now we're finally going to see them in a game against a good team. Is it too early to do that? Is it too early to say we like what the Philadelphia Eagles have done this season and yet we have our doubts? What they did to New York on Saturday was essentially a perfect game. As close as you're going to see to one in the playoffs. And I think that they thoroughly outclassed New York. They have a great defense. They have an unbelievable amount of depth on their defensive line. They have two great wide receivers. Hurts, when he is on a roll and making the smart decisions, not just throwing the football downfield, but when to take off and run, it's as good as it gets. But is he going to be able to make that happen against the San Francisco 49ers? And I guess I'm not all that impressed by the 49ers yesterday because I do wonder what happens in that game if Dak Prescott doesn't throw those two interceptions. I feel like they're probably in the NFC Championship game, and we're talking about perhaps the most violent parking lot of all time between Cowboy fans and Eagles fans. Instead, we're talking about Eagles and 49ers fans. 49ers, low key go hard. But are they going to do it on the road? There's some bad stories about 49ers fans. I don't know why 49er fans of all fans, because you would think that, oh, it's like the Silicon Valley crowd. They're probably bringing a charcuterie board into the game and drinking some wine. Ooh, Sauvignon Blanc for the first half. Pinot Noir in the second half. And yet, they do go kind of hard.
But the thing is, they probably built a lot of that fan base before Silicon Valley was Silicon Valley.
That's fair.
And then they're bad for 15 years, and now they got some pent-up stuff. They're taking out on everyone.
Here's who the Eagles have beaten this season. The Lions, the Vikings, the Commanders, the Jaguars, the Cardinals, the Cowboys in the game where Cooper Rush was under center, the Steelers, the Texans. Texans almost took them out.
Quality win.
Right. It was a moral victory for Lovie Smith and company. They lost to the Commanders, beat the Packers, barely beat the Colts, killed the Titans, killed the Giants, edged the Bears in a game that didn't really matter that much, lost to the Cowboys, but that game didn't matter that much either because home field had already been determined.
And it was Minshew.
Right. The Saints.
I think that was another Minshew game. I forgot if Hurts came back for that.
There were the two Minshew games where you're like, okay, like Minshew.
Yeah, let's just simulate this one.
Exactly. So there is an argument to be made that they haven't played anybody yet, and that's not their fault. You only play who's on your schedule, but the 49ers are definitely the best team that they will play this year, just looking at who they've gone up against thus far. Maybe some preseason expectations you would have thought, oh, well, the game against the Packers will be a good one. And, yeah, beating the Cowboys early in the year, it was a pretty impressive victory for them. But I'm impressed by the Eagles. I just come out saying, like, okay, can they actually do this against a great team? Because what the Bengals did, like, we've seen the Bengals do this to the Kansas City Chiefs the last three times that they've played them, and now we have seen them do it to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, at this point, like, the Bengals are the top dog in the AFC. Kansas City could upset them on Sunday, but I feel like the Bengals should be favored in this game against Kansas City.
It's 1.5 right now.
Which is about as close as saying, yeah.
Neutral field, they're favorites.
Ooh, tell them about a neutral field. How do you think the Bengals will feel about that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say the N-word to the Bengals. God. The N-F word.
Yeah, the neutral field word. The two words back-to-back. They don't like hearing that. And what they did was the most impressive thing this weekend because they did it against a great team. And yeah, Buffalo's a part of the way that things played out. I feel like them not showing up should have Sean McDermott being thought slightly differently of right now. Everyone gave them so many excuses for losing to the Chiefs last year to the point where they changed the bleeping rules of overtime. I'm fixating on this. They are treated differently. They are. Cowboys lose again. You expect the Cowboys to lose. Cowboys get crucified by the national media. Killed.
They lose to a team that we thought they were going to lose to.
Right. Like, they did. I mean, look, I thought they had a chance to win that game. Dak deserves a lot of criticism for it. But it's not like the Cowboys played like crap, you know? They played against a team with a damn good defense. They couldn't move the football enough. They are getting killed today. The Bills should get that same energy. They should. The Bengals had three of their offensive linemen missing in this game, and there is no pass rush to be spoken of with the Bills. And credit to the Bengals for having the great game plan to just get the ball out as quickly as they possibly could. You could see there were some plays they were just throwing to the side when the play began. Made sense. But where was the adjustment? Isn't Sean McDermott a defensive genius? Isn't Sean McDermott, that's why he got his gig, because he did that with Philadelphia back in the day? What's going on here? I feel like we treat Buffalo differently because they're a smaller market team, and they should be absolutely destroyed for that performance yesterday. It was a home field game. It's snowing. This is legitimately your weather. You have been talking about yourselves all year long as the Super Bowl favorites. You played a Miami team where it was way closer than it should have been. that wasn't enough to motivate you to play against the defending AFC champions? Like, that's what I can't get past. You've not played this team in a full game. You played them earlier this year, and of course, the DeMar Hamlin situation happens. If you're Buffalo, don't you feel like you have a chip on your shoulder and you need to prove to people that you are this team? And everyone's going to forget about the Bills in a couple of days. And then next season, they're going to say going into the year, this team, they've got it. Just like you did this past year. Super team, Buffalo Bills. Where is that energy? And I get it. Like, nobody lives in Buffalo. It's practically in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. They are getting treated so much differently, and I do think it is a double standard. Josh Allen is a fun guy to root for, no doubt about it. The Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia, they're great, but they should be getting absolutely destroyed. Of all of the performances that we saw this weekend, what Cincy did was the most impressive, but Buffalo not showing up, like, good God. I mean, I got a kick out of it personally. Because Bills fans have been hiding for years, and now all of a sudden they're out in the limelight and a performance like this happens, and now they're just hiding again. They should be taken to the woodshed. They should be beaten up like Billy Bats gets beaten up in Goodfellas. Where's Tommy with a pistol when he's already dead in the trunk to shoot him another six times because he's breathing funny while they're driving to the place to bury him? Where is that? Where is that energy? Do I have to bring it? Some random sports talk show host in Houston? Who, whenever he talks about the NFL on this show, everyone gets pissed off because they hate football, I guess, because of the Texans and what they've done to this city. It's ridiculous. Where Bills Mafia, softest mafia there is. It is. We call them Bills Mafia. Why aren't they? I bet after the game was done, they were all waiting out in the parking lot, and they gave them like a warm reception, like, ah, oh, good for you guys. Woohoo! Good for you guys. Like they did last year. They did that last year when the Bills lost. They come home and they're all waiting in the airport, waiting for them to get out of the plane. Woo-wee! Go Bills! If our defensive-minded coach could actually get one stop during the game, maybe we're in the AFC Championship. Yay! We've never won anything! Welcome home, boys! Welcome home! And then, like, for this game, they probably did the same thing in the parking lot.
This is where, like, every fan base that's a small market team complains about being a small market team until days like today.
Exactly.
Today they're super glad. I've looked up at the screen.
Not
in
once.
Here. Every single time it's talking about the Cowboys.
Not once. And I get it. Like, that's what drives ratings. The Dallas Cowboys are still the team that, like, people like to talk about the team because it is a soap opera. But the Bills should be destroyed.
They scored 10 points. They scored 10 points.
And they are at home. And they're playing a Cincinnati team that's missing all their offensive linemen. Eli Apple is talking trash about you. The one player on the Bengals that nobody likes, that everyone roots against and bullies mercilessly on the internet, is smoking a cigar cackling at you after the game. You lost to Eli Apple. We actually had a good game. The Bengals defensive backs played great in that game too. And I don't want to take all the credit away from Cincinnati. I'm really impressed by them. I am rooting for the Bengals the rest of the way. Love this team. Love the way that they're put together. Love that they have this chip on their shoulder. But Buffalo, good God. Loser city, loser franchise, and no one cares about them enough to destroy them the way that I just did. Whatever. Paul Galancho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Guys, if you own your home, you want to save a little money, right? Things add up. Maybe you went to Breckenridge with the boys this weekend and realized, oh, damn, ski lift tickets are way more expensive than I thought. Well, if you save some money on your home insurance, guess what? You can afford those trips with the boys over the weekend. All you got to do is text the word money to 232323 to get an instant quote with multiple options from TGS Insurance with legit savings. And talking about savings of $600, $1,200, $1,900 over the course of a year. Inside the loop to the suburbs, all the way to the coast, $800 the average saved money when you switch to TGS Insurance. So do it right now. Again, text the word money to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. It's that easy to make it happen with smart, fast, easy savings. The TGS Insurance way. Again, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
some comments. And it has to do with the double standard. I get criticizing the Cowboys. It's fun to criticize the Cowboys. But I feel like the Bills are just getting off scot-free today. And I think that's ridiculous. The Cowboys lost the game against a team that's better than them. The Bills lost at home to a team that they should be better than.
They were like six-point favorites.
Six-point favorites at home against the defending AFC champions. And I can understand why the Bengals are feeling disrespected, but you didn't even show a pulse in that game. So I just don't get it. Perhaps some of you guys will spread the message. I think Bills fans should have it rubbed in their face.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, even if you don't personally know a Bills fan, just text someone or hit the group text with like, man, you know who's getting off scot-free at the Bills. Let's all laugh at the Bills for 30
minutes. They really
are.
Sean, one of my best friends is a Bills fan. We didn't even know he was a Bills fan in college because he hid it. He was ashamed of it. And
he was during the J.P. Lossman years.
Right. And then all of a sudden the Bills beat the Patriots in a playoff game and he will not shut up. And what's BS is that this will fade from the discussion. And they will not have people saying, it's time to talk about Sean McDermott's future. It's time to talk about Josh Allen in the postseason. But we do it with Dak, and we do it with Mike McCarthy, and we do it with the Cowboys.
We've been firing Mike McCarthy since the introductory press conference.
Right.
And he's won 24 games in 2 years.
And he's still not out of the woods yet because Sean Payton hasn't been hired by anybody. Theoretically, they will make that move instead. Just saying, it's an unfair double standard. We should routinely dump on the teams that blow it regardless of where they are from. Because that was the most embarrassing thing that happened this weekend. Strong second place silver medal to Tony Romo on the broadcast. I can't do Romo anymore. I've said it once. I'll say it again. That was the worst.
I Googled who has the Super Bowl this year. It's Fox. Thank God.
Goodness gracious. Well, interesting. I wonder who's going to be doing. Does that mean Burkhardt? It's Burkhardt and Olsen then?
I would assume so.
Wow. Talk about a great way to start off your first year. A lot of pressure on them. I felt like they did a pretty good job, though.
Yeah, Olsen's awesome.
Olsen's coming into his own. I like Olsen on those calls. And you know what happens? When you just talk about what's happening on the field and actually give an opinion on them?
Concise.
Tony? Yeah. Ooh, I don't know, Jim. I don't know. It's like Tony Romo, too, we're talking about. Where is he all time among Cowboy quarterbacks? Fourth? Third? I mean,
you cannot have him higher than third.
And is he even there? I don't know. Is Dak? Who's higher, Dak or Tony?
Ugh.
See, look at us. We're already turning it back into a Cowboys conversation.
I know. Do you want me to get Michael Irvin? Get him on the phone.
Irvin, coming up next. Michael Irvin with that same energy about the Buffalo Bills so that he can deflect.
Get Michael Irvin, only ask him about the Bills.
Hey, you ever watch us in the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills? We killed them. We killed their sorry asses. And where's that same energy right now? Sorry, that's not Michael Irvin. Jonathan Gannon is the Eagles' defensive coordinator. He, for a time, was favorite to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. We're talking about a guy who has interviewed with the Texans before. Nick Sirianni, who we mentioned earlier, is a bit of a panderer. He, for whatever reason, decided to go on a crusade against the Eagles' radio flagship, WIP, and Angelo Cataldi, the morning show host, during a 1 minute and 15 second rant yesterday.
Whew, man, would they score 7? Yeah, big time. Jonathan Gannon puts these guys in great positions. Obviously, we have great players, and you know, sometimes I have to hear like some things about Jonathan Gannon, like, and I don't know if it's you guys, it might be more other people, I won't say names, Angelo, right? But this guy is an unbelievable coordinator. The fact that he doesn't get respect from our radio station blows my mind. It blows my mind. And I know you work at the radio station too, so I'm not even going to say anything about you. But, like, it blows my mind. This guy is an incredible coordinator. the people love to play for this guy. Like, and I, you want me to keep going?
I think you made your point. Why do you even pay attention?
Well, I have to, Bob has to put me on to what they're, you know, like, the only reason I got to pay attention is because Bob does such a good job at his job that he preps me for questions that I got to answer. And so every time I hear an answer about Jonathan Gannon, I laugh to myself. And matter of fact, coaches from other teams ask me, like, does Jonathan Gannon get here? I'm like, somehow, yeah. Like, this guy's incredible. He's going to be a head football coach in the National Football League because of what he does. This guy's a stud. He's a stud. I can't wait to talk.
I mean, he just keeps on going and going and going and going. Sirianni is interesting. I enjoy the cut of his jib, if you will. It is very funny to see him just go out of his way to bring things up that he's acting like he's not aware of. And he does a weekly interview with Angelo Cataldi on WIP. So there's some back and forth that's always happened between the head coach and Angelo Cataldi. For those who don't know, and this is starting to get inside Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, there was a really funny clip, I think it was 2 years ago, where Doug Peterson and Angelo Cataldi were doing an interview, and Doug just goes, I'm pissed off, Angelo. I'm pissed off. And just goes off on some sort of diatribe about being mad. Because Philadelphia is a negative, miserable sports town. And the people who do the sports talk radio there make me seem like a giant sunshine parade. You know, like they are, it's pretty amazing how beat down and angry they are about anything. They just won a Super Bowl they didn't deserve 5 years ago.
Angelo sounds like the kind of host where he just, like, rips the home team. Like, yeah. That's his – he just, like – sky is falling at all times.
Right. And
– which is interesting that he's on the flagship.
Hey.
The morning show on the flagship.
I got to say, though.
They do it differently.
The flagships in the Northeast, it's like you're expected because people will assume bias. You're expected to be harder on those teams that are on your station. And I always found it strange when I came down here that it was different. Because I remember I came in my first couple of shows, I was like, yeah, the Texans are frauds. You guys have no chance against the Patriots in the playoffs. None. And this is before Matt Schaub got hurt. And this was also when I think the Patriots weren't even playing that well. Like, I think my first show on the radio, I was like, oh, Hot Tub Time Machine, Matt Leinart's under center for you guys this week against the Jaguars, huh? This season's going down the toilet soon, don't you think? That wasn't maybe the best way to ingratiate myself to a local audience.
Yeah, we do it different. There's a little thing, Paul, called Southern hospitality.
Hey, I've developed a bit of Southern hospitality myself. I've developed some of it. Listen, bless the Texans' hearts. They're trying. They're trying.
I think Jonathan Gannon would be a fine head coach.
Yeah, he would be. And you know who else would be a fine head coach? Sean Mapes behind the glass. Perhaps Shane Steichen. Hell, Mike Kafka, look where we got Daniel Jones in these playoffs. You know, hey, everyone's dumping on the Dallas Cowboys today. Well, they tried too. Wasn't their fault. Just Dak didn't have his best game. Ratings gold. I'm just going to do that like the rest of my career here. And I should have started off that way. Just come on the air with is it a 10-gallon hat or 12-gallon hat? 15-gallon hat, Paul, coming in. Listen, the boys tried their best. That's all you can do in life, right? You go back to home, go back to the wife, you go back to the kids, and you have yourself a nice dinner together because it's not about football. It's about family at the end of the day.
Family, faith, and football in that order, Paul.
Yeah, football's at the very end of that. You got to remember that, bucko, okay? So when things don't go your way, just remember, it ain't the end of the world. This is the new sports talk radio format of the Paul Gallant Show. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the HRNP listener line. Anything else we can figure out about the Texans coaching search from this weekend? Also, the Jacksonville Jaguars do deserve credit for what they did on Saturday against Kansas City. Like, they were in that game for a while. Does them hanging around against a banged-up Patrick Mahomes mean that they're on the verge of being discussed like we just talked about the Cincinnati Bengals? We'll talk about that next. Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Someone texted in. This could maybe help the Cowboys out next year and the Buffalo Bills out as well. The Dallas Cowboys trade Dak Prescott to the Bills for Sean McDermott. That was theorized by a texter. Definitely the more outlandish one. But Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, are they the same guy in the playoffs? I can't say. I honestly can't.
Oh, okay.
I don't see color, so I can't tell.
So you have Dak Prescott. I say you put Dak Prescott as quarterback, Josh Allen as running back.
I think so. It makes sense.
He's probably the best runner on the team.
Bigger guy, too. And look,
can
Dak,
take the carries.
Right. Yeah. Dak's not, you know, the most fleet of foot. He runs when he needs to, but no, you get Josh Allen as your fullback. Oh, yeah.
And then every once in a while, a little halfback pass, but with Josh Allen as the halfback.
Right. Maybe Josh Allen plays a little tight end, too. You know? Gadget player. He could be what Taysom Hill never was in this situation.
I did see some people online calling him Taysom Hill. So
he should,
that's not great.
He should get some criticism. And we did get to a point with Josh Allen where we kind of forgot that he has some really bad habits. He's just really fun to watch. He's like if Brett Favre was a tank. But those mistakes add up. And they're not everybody's cup of tea. Burrow doesn't screw up. Brock Purdy doesn't screw up. Now, totally different quarterbacks, those two. Because with Purdy, you're not asking him to do much. And with Burrow, you're asking him to do a ton, especially behind an offensive line that was missing three guys and already wasn't very good this year. And was really bad last season. Remember the game where he got sacked 9 times by the Tennessee Titans? That was just a year ago. But the Bengals, they really did put together something impressive. It's interesting how we talk about a team after their season comes to an end, because when the Bills lost to the Chiefs last year, it really was like a funeral. Oh, the poor Bills. Overtime rules just don't work in their favor. Guess we're going to have to change them next year. And we should be this season with a lot different energy. With the Jaguars, you can't have too many knives out right now. You can't. Someone texted in. It's Chewy. 713, I think the Jaguars should be put on blast like the Cowboys and, yeah, the Bills. Okay. There were enough mistakes by the Jaguars in that game, specifically the Christian Kirk drop pass that would have set the Jaguars up in a goal-to-go situation. That one was bad. But they're on the road in a hostile environment playing a Kansas City team that still has Patrick Mahomes, even if he isn't at 100%. Did you expect midway through the year when the Jaguars lost all those games in a row, did you expect that team to be in this spot? I know, having conversations with my friends before the game, most people expected the Chiefs to win in a bloodbath. And I said, I think Jacksonville will keep it kind of close. Like, I'll bet they'll beat the they'll cover the spread, which I think was 10 points going into the game. That's not to pat myself on the back. I just looked at this Jaguars team and saw them as very young. Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jaguars, was asked where his team stands going into next year after the game. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, I feel like we're close. I mean, you know, obviously we got the right leader in Trevor. I feel really good about him, obviously. What he's done, how he's played this season, and you know, it's just, you know, it's a matter of, with the youth of the team, you know, now these guys played a lot of football, and they're going to learn from the good and the bad, and it's something to really, I think, lean on as we head into the off season, you know, and as we approach the off season program, you know, in a couple of months, and which is kind of crazy to say, but we're going to learn.
We'll see what they do learn, and I think if they play poorly in a season-ending loss next year, they should be treated the way that the Bills should be treated today.
I honestly, like, the Bills, this is 3 times. the Jags still had the number one pick in April.
Right.
And they just lost by 7 in Arrowhead to Kansas City.
What did everyone think about Josh Allen's playoff performance against the Houston Texans, by the way? Remember that back in 2018, 2019? This is, you know, before, check that. This is 2019, 2020. This is before the Chiefs collapse.
This is before Josh Allen was good.
Right. There once was a time where he was ripped, and then all of a sudden he was crowned as if those issues were gone forever. And here we are today saying, yeah, like he has some moments where he's not that good. And quarterbacks are held to a ridiculously unfair standard, much like Joe Burrow's perhaps being propped up a little bit too much for now being 4-0 against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Is that entirely Joe Burrow? A lot of it's Joe Burrow. It's not all Joe Burrow. The Bengals' defense played great, but this is how it works. This is how it works. With Lawrence, I still think there's a lot of kid gloves being used to handle him. Because remember how I thought he was going to have an absolutely terrible first game in the playoffs. And then the first half he did. And because he had a great second half, that was forgotten because of where he is in his career right now. But next year, that could be different. Like next year, if he plays poorly in the playoff game, I think he will be looked at and with a more critical gaze in a way that Justin Herbert has been. Herbert, where was he? Where was he in that second half? Well, Chargers going to Chargers. Chargers going to Chargers. Yeah, that's true. But where was Justin Herbert? Everyone crowned him going into this season. And I do like some of what Herbert brings to the table. I think he's remarkably tough. And I do think that if we're going to compare highlight reel throws among quarterbacks, like Herbert and Mahomes are probably going head-to-head, back and forth. But it's not about that. It's about being consistent week to week. Allen is not consistent week to week. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think, has shown yet that he is consistent week to week either. But the Jaguars should feel good about themselves, mainly because they're also in an AFC South division that stinks. Who's going to be the next Colts head coach? Does it matter with Jim Irsay running the show? Who's going to be the, I guess, cornerstone for the Tennessee Titans in these years to come, now that they've just gotten rid of John Robinson and it seems like the Ryan Tannehill era is about to end? They're not giving it to Malik Willis. Then, of course, with the Houston Texans, like, yeah. What do you really need to say there? Like, the Jaguars are in great shape right now.
That I was going to say, that's the best part, is that they kind of have a year where, you know, they'll be picked to win the division, but no one's going to be, like, you know, putting them up against the top three that we're all going to pick in the AFC next year.
No doubt. There will be one division that is top to bottom. Everyone picks the same team, and it's probably going to be the AFC South with the Jaguars. I would imagine there will be not one person who dissents and says, one of those other teams will win it.
I think it kind of depends on who the Colts and Titans get as their QB.
Maybe.
There's some, like, you know, if Derek Carr, everyone loves Derek Carr in the offseason.
They do. Did you see the story about Derek Carr, by the way, Sean? The story came out about how, like, Josh McDaniels hurt his feelings, and you're like, oh, come on, Derek. You got to stop making it so easy for everyone to dump on you, man.
Yeah, but if he goes to, like, Tennessee or something, people are going to be like, huh? Yeah. And they get, like, a wide receiver in the draft or something. I guess they just did that. But get another wide receiver.
Yeah, Treylon Burks, he's so much better than A.J. Brown.
He's cheaper.
That's for sure. See, for what? You're bang for your buck.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, 100%. That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Jaguars are in a good spot. But we will just bookmark it. If they play poorly in this spot a year from now, they should be crushed. The Bills should be crushed today, too. They should. And they're the team that should be crushed more than anybody. Man, all you Cowboy haters out there. Cowboy Paul here, giant Cowboy fan. I guess I should get rid of my mustache and perhaps get a chin strap beard, right? Like, that's the Cowboy fan way, right?
Yeah, I thought you were going to dress up as a Cowboy. No, but dress up as a Cowboy fan.
Cowboy fan doesn't look like a Cowboy.
No, nowhere close to
a
Cowboy.
No, they look like they have their own vibe. Give me my jorts. Okay.
Jorts, yeah. At least to your knee, maybe past it.
Okay, I like that. Give me a black Tony Romo jersey. Because some people wore them for some reason. Or perhaps
Zeke Elliott. Or Dez Bryant.
Camouflage Dez Bryant jersey.
Yeah, it has to be some awful, like, alternate of an alternate that, like, no one has ever worn.
Right.
But, yes, that and, like, Dez or, like, DeMarcus Ware or something.
Yeah. A nice, crisp pair of jorts, too, underneath. Yeah. And you're good to go. You got your chin strap. You got your Cowboys jersey. Are you going to be wearing some bling like you're a Yankee fan? Because you might also be a Yankee fan, too. You know, you might be a Cowboy, Yankee, Laker fan. So there might be some things that you could bring over from the Yankee fan world, because you maybe you have a wife beater on underneath your Cowboys jersey. You don't look quite as tough because you can't unbutton a football jersey, but you can also do that. Maybe I should do that for Halloween. Just go as a Cowboy fan, like have a one-day chin strap.
Well, didn't this year you had like two different costumes?
I did, and yeah, since the playoff games took so long, thanks World Series, I wasn't able to. Yeah, I wasn't able to enjoy the most sacred holiday there is.
Think
Halloween.
About what you're complaining about. Yeah, think about, we're talking about Shane Steichen as the God. I hope they get Mike Kafka. And you're also complaining about the one good team.
I had to cover a World Series game until 12:30. Okay, and I couldn't dress as Rip from Yellowstone until 1 o'clock. I only got 1 hour out at the bars while dressed up in costume, hoping for things to progress to a good time. I had to go to a World Series game. Ridiculous. I'm obviously kidding. I hope that you can sense that in my voice at the very least. But maybe I'll cosplay as a Cowboys fan next year. That could be a fun one. Cowboy Paul. Like, going into the year, too, I mean, think about it. We're probably going to be in the same spot that we are with the Texans always. We're just like, do we want to watch? No.
I think we'll be more optimistic or more, like, interested in the...
I hope so. Good God.
Yeah. Can't because there'll be a rookie quarterback that we can overreact to every week.
Not get one.
God, don't put that evil on me.
I don't want to put Dalton. It on you, Sean, but I do kind of want to put it on the people in town who will lose their minds if they don't get a quarterback, because I think it's funny to get so mad about something when you don't know where the road's going to go.
They trade for Trey Lance.
That would be actually pretty funny. Hey, he's a quarterback. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our sweet prince, the prince who was promised. The man who stepped in for Carlos Correa and dominated had a little piece written about him over the weekend. And it actually does raise a question about Jeromy Pena that I am still wondering about. I'll tell you what that question is next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Someone suggested on the text line that I get a Gat Win jersey to really go all the way in as Cowboy fan Paul. I like it. I like it. How about Moose Johnston? What? You laugh. He went to Syracuse.
Oh, I didn't know you had that connection.
We have the connection from Cuse, baby. Moose Johnston, fullbacks, yeah.
Yeah, you love a good fullback.
Oh, nothing like a good fullback. It's a shame that Mike Allstott, my favorite fullback ever, Mike Allstott is the head coach of my arch rival high school, so I'm not allowed to like him anymore. Northside Christian Mustangs. It's absolutely outrageous. What? Sean's laughing. I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad about it. I'll never get over it.
It's the most Tampa thing ever.
Well, we're cosplaying with some Tampa Sports Talk Radio topics. We're cosplaying with some Cowboys Sports Talk Radio topics. This is what happens when the Texans aren't good. It means that you should always talk about the Houston Astros whenever you have a chance to do so. And I thought it was great to see in a piece in the Houston Chronicle over the weekend that took place at Astros Fan Fest. Danielle Lerner wrote it. Jeromy Pena, Houston's newest celebrity, says he's still the same. And this article outlines how at Astros Fan Fest, he had a table to himself and people were just coming up trying to get selfies. They weren't allowed to take selfies. They did take selfies anyway. Getting autographs. You still had people saying, "I love you, Jeromy Pena." You still had women swooning at Jeromy Pena. I really wonder what the season is going to be like for him. And he says he's still the same guy, but this has still got to be an incredible rush. You still got to be going probably like 80 miles per hour through it. Maybe it's not the 110 that it was right after you won it. But I mean, could this not have been the best postseason ever for a kid who is a rookie? I mean, an incredible postseason. He is a made man here. And I think it's only natural for that to perhaps be something that's not a mitigating factor in this coming season, but you got to wonder how focused is he going to be at the beginning. It's a long baseball season, so it's not like you have to show up day one and be 100% ready to go and you know, have yourself a detox tea and cleanse out that weekend to Breckenridge that you had. It's not quite like that, but I'm curious. I'm really curious as to how he will do. He is a star in this city already, like on par with Jose Altuve to an extent, on par with Alex Bregman to an extent. When you have a postseason like that, it's natural. And he's the shortstop. And it helps that he's, I mean, objectively handsome. Woo, Jamie! Let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Sean Mabes made me aware of this story over the weekend. A kerfuffle on the basketball court between Speak for Your Pizzas, Shannon Sharp, Hall of Fame tight end as well, and Ja Morant's dad. So I guess what happened is Shannon Sharp, who is a large human being, talks some trash to Memphis Grizzlies cheap shot artist in the eyes of some Dylan Brooks. And things escalated to a point where Shannon Sharp was trying to front him. And something you always got to remember, when a football player and a basketball player look like they're about to throw down, the basketball player is always so much bigger. Shannon Sharp is a huge guy, but the image of Shannon Sharp standing there as Steven Adams comes out of nowhere, towering over him, looking like he could break him in half, was quite the visual.
I love the, because so Shannon Sharp, after, like, he had to get separated from the Memphis Grizzlies.
Seriously, we're talking about not just a former athlete. We're talking
Hall
about
of Famer.
One of the biggest voices, even if no one watches that show, in sports media.
And he gave, while he was in the tunnel, after, again, being separated from the Memphis Grizzlies, gave a quote to Dave McMiniman.
Whoa, the ESPN Lakers reporter?
I guess he just walked over there. He just walked over there and was like, Shannon, thoughts?
Good
and he
reporting.
Said, and he, this is Shannon's right. They didn't want this smoke, Dave. Which is hilarious. They do all that talking and jocking and all, and I ain't about that jocking. It started with Dylan Brooks. I said he was too small to guard LeBron, which
cool.
It started with Dylan Brooks. I said he was too small to guard LeBron. So it started with you, Shannon Sharp. He said, F me. I said, F you back.
Yeah.
He started to come at me. I said, you don't want these problems. And then Ja came out of nowhere talking. He definitely didn't want these problems. Then
Ja Morant's dad enters the fray.
Then his dad came, and he obviously didn't want no problems. But I wanted anything they had. Don't let these fools fool you now.
I love also Dave. how afterwards, too. So he's still probably hot, bothered, in the moment. And afterwards, they asked Ja Morant's dad about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're cool. Everything's fine now.
They made up. They, like, hugged.
That to me is ridiculous that they made up over this. Like, Sharp completely embarrassed himself. And he's been doing that a lot recently, which is saying something when he shares a show with Skip Bayless.
Who's also been doing that a lot.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, why isn't this show working again? One of the hosts got in a fight with Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant's dad at a Lakers game.
Someone got in a fight at a LeBron game, and it's not the one you think.
No.
It's the other one.
It's not. It's, I mean, it would be interesting to see Skip Bayless throw hands with somebody. Guy does keep in pretty good shape. I will give him that.
For like a 70-year-old man, yeah.
But hey, listen.
Shannon Sharp keeps him in so much better shape.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp.
And he's 15 years younger.
And he's like a Hall of Fame tight end. He's massive. Man, is Shannon Sharp in his 50s? Probably.
Yeah, he's like 50-something, 53.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That is not 50-year-old man behavior.
No, that is...
That is childish behavior. I'm sorry. If you're a talk show host that is in that setting and you're doing that and you're not doing your entire show about that the next day, then you, sir, are not good at your job.
Well, it's NFL divisional round, Cowboys.
So?
Got it. But no, I mean...
Then go to an NFL playoff game and start a fight with a player.
Honestly, you saying this is not 50-year-old man behavior, this isn't like Hall of Fame tight end. This is something like Jake Paul would have. Like, you know, like
legit.
A YouTuber.
maybe that's why he's trying to do this. He's trying to get the show back on track. Yeah, maybe he's about to pivot to YouTube. Shannon Sharpe's Patreon. Everyone check it out. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, Behind the Glass, our callers, our texters, our tweeters, our twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast too. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.